This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Welcome into the show on your Thursday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
President Biden heads to Belgium. He's there with the big NATO meeting this morning that just wrapped up a few minutes ago. We're going to hear what their plans are. Next up is the G7. So all of these big meetings, what they're planning to do against Russian sanctions, open up refugee status, nuclear war is the big worry this morning. All of that will bring you up to speed on this morning.
Plus, North Korea has stepped up testing intercontinental missiles. We're going to talk about what that means. Should we be afraid? What is going on?
Just be afraid. I guess that's just always be afraid about North Korea, right? Because they're pissed off. Like when the rest of the world is not paying attention to them, they're like, "Hey, we want to launch some missiles. Remember us? Remember us here?"
Yes. Okay. We have some timelines. We're going to go over it.
Yeah. Also, Justin Trudeau gets his ass handed to him by European leaders who called him a dictator to his face while in Brussels. What is the moves that the Canadian Parliament has been making? How draconian are they? Well, so much so that they got slapped down by European leaders. We'll tell you about dictator Trudeau and so much more as Morning Invest starts right now.
Welcome to your Thursday. We're so happy you joined us. Today's the 24th of March. This is Morning Invest. Remember, there is an accompanying newsletter that is free. We hope you are signed up. It's morninginvest.com. And if you'd like to chat with us right here live during the show, you can join morninginvest.com/join for about the price of a cup of coffee per month. And we love hearing your contributions always.
That's right. All right. We start in Brussels this morning where all of the leaders got together for a big photo op. It was great to watch them. President Biden, Emmanuel Macron, Justin Trudeau, all of the big NATO leaders getting together to take a big photo and glad hand and talk about what they plan to do with. It is like a rogues gallery.
Diverse group of diverse and representative of the world.
Yeah, very diverse. Lots of old white guys who get together and decide what they want to do with the rest of the world. We are learning quite a bit this morning about what they plan to do, namely sanctions, more sanctions for Russia, with nary a word, any discussion at all about like how these sanctions are reverberating around the world. Like how are they actually hurting the United States of America? How are they actually hurting African nations? No discussion about how, you know, these Ukrainian sanctions against Russia, all of this could actually hurt global nations in the South. Like 26 out of 54 African states don't support this.
Right.
Do not support this. But guess who's going to be hit the hardest in all of this?
Us.
Africa. Oh. Africa. America, well, yes, us and Africa, African nations who rely on wheat and all sorts of other exports, crushing problems for them. Meanwhile, Russia doing just fine.
Seems to be, yeah. Right? And so, yes, there's sort of a global humiliation in terms of anyone who wants to remain on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, but Russia has already been able to continue to do business. It does not seem as though they are shaking in their boots about more sanctions, but the United States is now worried that the European Union will not be able to survive without Russian gas and exports, because the European Union is far more dependent on Russian gas and exports than the United States. So President Biden is expected by Friday to announce a plan to take Europe off of Russian oil dependence. And the word is that they could, who would have some oil to give, maybe make sure that the European Union is dependent instead on U.S. oil, which make sense to me, right? Because the United States is also having an oil crisis.
Didn't we just fly to Saudi Arabia, or like flying to Saudi Arabia to ask those warmongers and those human rights abusers, those who literally executed and beheaded 81 individuals last week? Like, also, we want their oil, so we're going to take their oil and then redistribute it throughout Europe.
Yes. Also, we are keen to take oil from Venezuela now, when the Trump administration in 2017 had put sanctions on Venezuela for being corrupt. We are now no longer concerned about that. So we could buy oil from Venezuela and provide it to Europe. It's not a very efficient channel. You would think that the European Union would also be able to buy its own oil from other places that are not named Russia. But no, the United States seems keen to insert itself into this. You know, you could say that's nice of them, and you could also say that's opportunistic. You get to choose what you say about it.
Meanwhile, the United States is now making contingency plans. Making contingency plans in case Russia decides to use its most powerful weapons. This is sort of like an underlying major theme of this. David, go ahead. But this is like the nuclear part of this whole thing is the big concern. Like, what if they use chemical weapons? What if they use nuclear weapons? That's the big concern this morning.
Well, and you know, you remember Alex Jones, how he would always follow the Bilderberg group, the Bilderberg meetings?
Yes.
It's kind of like now this is the version 2.0 that's just out in the public. They're like, well, we keep getting busted, so let's just have these in public. Like, all these people get together and decide how our fate.
Well, and that's exactly what these meetings are over the next. I mean, NATO meeting number one, and then with no discussion about Africa. Right. No discussion about these countries that don't support this. Right. So they get to drive the narrative for the world. And then they get together and they have the big G7 meeting, and they get to decide from there what more they want to do about refugee status, nuclear weapons.
It's a meeting of colonizers. We were just talking about colonizers yesterday. Yeah. That's what this is.
So the U.S. making these contingency plans. Let's go through this David Sanger report. I think it's interesting in case Russia uses its most powerful weapons. The White House has quietly assembled a team of national security officials to sketch out scenarios of how the United States and its allies should respond if Putin, frustrated by his lack of progress in Ukraine, decides to unleash his stockpiles of chemical, biological, or nuclear weapons.
Okay, there's so many things assumed in just that opening lead that I have a problem with. First of all, the United States...
They're calling themselves the Tiger Team, by the way. Just
okay, but let's say they have quietly assembled this team to think about the what-if situations. No, the United States has been doing that for at least 40 years. So this is not all of a sudden, what if Russia goes nuclear?
Right.
Okay, so there's that. To unleash stockpiles of chemical, biological, or nuclear weapons. Also, we're assuming that Vladimir Putin feels frustrated and that the invasion is not going exactly as he had planned, which is an assumption, right? So none of us know that.
Right.
So this may actually be his plan.
I mean, if you listen to the West is saying, like, he's really upset right now.
He's losing.
He's firing his own staff. He can't find his defense minister. Like, he went missing overnight, apparently. Apparently, you know, who knows what's actual truth coming out of the Western media coverage of him? Ukraine is winning. Russia is losing. Have you seen Mariupol? Have you seen some of these cities right now? I mean, who's winning in this war? I mean, millions of Ukrainians are fleeing. Who's winning?
No, it does not at all seem clear or a foregone conclusion.
Unfortunately, they took off RT News, too, where we were actually able to hear, you know, Putin and other people speak from both sides. Maybe it's propaganda still, but you were able to hear another side of the narrative. And that other side of the narrative continually gets pushed, you know, hidden from us.
Yeah, of course, because, again, propaganda, right? I tweeted a story the other day about the CDC, and it came from RT News. It was a story about how the United States CDC was revising its death records as it relates to COVID. This is all verifiable. All you need to do is go to the CDC's website and confirm the numbers. And yet Twitter blocked it and said it was state-affiliated media. And people who didn't even... You can still click on it and read the story, but so many people on Twitter were like, Clayton, you're better than this. You're tweeting Russian propaganda. Like, it's a story about America's CDC, which is verifiable on the CDC's website. Just because Twitter decides that they want to put this little, you know, blurb up there, it doesn't discount the journalism behind it.
Right.
So I don't know. I find it, you know, that's ridiculous. Yeah.
It will be interesting to see if there is some sort of coordinated response between the United States and the European Union, because up until now, that was not clear, right? It did seem like there were factions that did not want this war inside the European Union. But if they can all sort of pose together and put a press release, then it does seem like these Western powers are united, or at least in this one moment, right? So, yeah. So we take the picture, they all stand there, and then they can continue to use this picture to say, oh no, we're united in this, right? When right. Of course this lack of supply chain is going to hurt these countries in a not equal way.
So the G7 planning to warn Moscow on this meeting, which is just starting a few minutes ago after the NATO meeting wrapped up, they're going to demand that Moscow just, you know, make sure you do not use chemical or nuclear material. And that is the focus. No mention of the fact that, hey, wait a second, what about these laboratories that are inside of Ukraine that the United States has bankrolled for years, where there actually are pathogens which are disturbing, particularly anthrax, among other things. Any question about that at all? No discussion about that. And then also, what about all of America's nuclear weapons that are actually in Europe? Many of you might not have even known that America has umpteen nuclear weapons in NATO countries already. So again, we don't have to, on the United States soil, even worry about this, right? As Adam, I want to play this again because Adam Schiff, this is important to remember.
The United States aids Ukraine and her people so that we can fight Russia over there and we don't have to fight Russia here.
Exactly. So why is NATO going to address the fact that there are six secret locations of U.S. nuclear weapons in Europe? It was accidentally revealed, but we know that all across Europe we have nuclear weapons in that region. So again, do unto others, right? We, the United States, we absolutely don't want them to do anything, but we are allowed to have our nuclear weapons in that part of the world aimed right at your country. We are able to do as much as we want in these NATO paramilitary assembly, driving, you know, right towards your country, encroaching on your country. But we're going to send you a warning, and we're going to issue a whole new round of sanctions, up to 26 new sanctions coming from member countries in NATO this morning. As that country continues to, I don't know. I don't even know if it's being hurt right now. We're hearing from some of the members of the Russian oligarchy who said, these things aren't doing anything to us. These sanctions aren't doing anything to us. One of the socialite daughters of one of the Russian leaders came out and said
it was an oligarch's daughter. Yeah. I mean, but that's hardly a representative spokesperson, right? So, okay, maybe McDonald's continues to pay employees while it shuts down restaurants, but what about the suppliers and the farmers that supply those local restaurants, right? So maybe she's doing just fine, but surely there are people who are hurt by this in small measure that just don't actually make it into Reuters.
I was going to say somebody in the comments is saying like RT was exactly like Fox News, and that is so untrue. Like, I saw more actual journalism on RT than I've ever seen on any of the major U.S. networks since the Ted Koppel days. You know,
these are highly subjective opinions, right? So, I mean, I have my own opinions about Fox News, but there is some journalism that goes on behind even the most partisan outlets.
So I agree.
It's sort of hard to say. You absolutely can find a bent to anyone. But for instance, the CDC article that Clayton is speaking of, that's just sort of verifiable facts for all of us. But when we decide to like just block them out because we don't like the name, we're missing a big piece of the puzzle. And I feel like that's, you know, these Western leaders in this moment are making it seem as if these world conflicts are existing in a vacuum. Like, we can transition Europe off of Russian oil, and we can transition the United States off of Russian oil, and it'll only affect the West, and this is the only way we care about it. And then also Ukrainian refugees are coming, you know, from all over. And so we can fast track them into certain refugee programs. And they're just going to sort of hop to the front of the line. Whereas people from Ethiopia, Syria, Yemen have been waiting for years for even just an appointment with a refugee immigration specialist. And they just don't get it, right? And yeah. So like these things absolutely have the butterfly effect, where if a butterfly flaps its wings, the effect is felt miles and hundreds of thousands of miles away. That's happening.
Yeah, let's talk about this refugee crisis, right? So millions, of course, have fled Ukraine, heading into Poland. Poland, according to reports I'm reading over the night, a lot of these Polish neighborhoods are just overrun. They don't have space for it, right? So there's been a lot of questions like, why isn't the United States stepping up here in Ukraine and allowing refugees? After all, we're pumping more money into that area than anyone else in the world, you know, in this proxy war. And if we really care about the citizens, right, that's the thing, right? We really care about democracy. We really care about the citizens. Then America should be opening up its doors and shores and transports and getting these individuals out. According to Bloomberg this morning, President Biden said to announce either during the G7 or at some point today, he hasn't made this announcement just yet, but this is according to Bloomberg, that the Biden administration is going to open it up to 100,000 refugees from Ukraine. 100,000. So much so that there's going to be transports available, et cetera, so that they can get them to the United States of America. 100,000. Now, regardless of how you feel about America's infrastructure being able to handle that, that is what's going to happen, right? I couldn't help, when I heard this number, though, think of like the massive bowl of hypocrisy about all of these other conflicts that you just mentioned. Syria, we talk about Yemen, Iraq, Afghanistan. So I dug into the numbers this morning because I wanted to see, okay, 100,000, like that's a lot of people, mm-hmm. right? So let's just go through the numbers here and look at how America has been accepting refugees. Now, remember the wars that we are in. Again, Syria, Yemen, Iraq, Afghanistan for 20 years. I mean, the list goes on. Kuwait, we could talk about Ethiopia. Where else is America in a proxy war causing death and destruction among its civilians and propping up other countries?
Or I don't think it even matters what our direct involvement is, because we pretend we are not directly involved between Ukraine and Russia, right?
But look at these numbers here on your screen. Yes, exactly. But here it's on the decline. Massively declining the amount of people that we're taking in the United States. If you look at all the way back from 1990, 125,000, it goes up in 1992 to like 130,000, all the way down now, plummeting down to below about 14 or so thousand right now. Just to give you some perspective on Syrian refugees, right? 2016 was the height of the Syrian refugees that we took in the United States. This year, or last year, 2021, 414.
Wait, is 1,000?
No, total, 100, 400 people, 400
people.
That's
like one junior high.
Yeah, that's who we take in here in the United States. And you look at the numbers here, just diving even further. Since the Syrian civil war began in 2011, more than 4 million Syrians have fled the country, creating the greatest refugee crisis since World War II. Most of them have fled to Turkey, Lebanon, Jordan, but many have risked death to reach Europe and possibility of a better life. Unlike Europe and Syria's neighbors, the United States has had the advantage of picking and choosing from afar, taking in just over 2,000 Syrian refugees since the war started.
So then the super uncomfortable question, you guys, is why do some people whose conflict is new get to the front of the line? Why, right? And do you feel...
Because they look like us.
Maybe, you know, it's just, there's a great book that I read towards the end of last year called The Beekeeper of Aleppo, which talks about a Syrian refugee family and all of the ways that they had to go to these different camps, which were really dangerous. Most of the women are the R word. Their children are kidnapped into slavery. It's so dangerous. They get in boats and they sink. It's awful, right? Just to get out of a country where they know they will be hunted by terrorists and killed and bombed and what have you. Their children, you know, may or may not live the journey. And then once they get to the Western nation that they've chosen, they're in a long line to provide documents. Not all of them have them. And then they have an arduous burden of proof to prove that they actually had to flee their country, that they are in danger. It's awful, right? So again, it's just, It's not, it's one of those things where you can applaud it because you feel like, oh, good, they're suffering. That's great, right? But then you have to think about all the people who have been suffering for a long time that are brown that are then moved back to a really long line.
Right. Oh, just look, here's one example, right? I love, this is an amazing story. Afghan refugees, like here we destroyed their country for 20 years, right? Mm-hmm. 20 years, right? U.S. Special Immigration Program refers more than 5,000 Afghan refugees to Canada. Like, we can't even, the U.S. State Department has referred more than 5,000 refugees who were seeking admission to the United States in a parallel program. Now they're moving them to Canada. They're like, the United States is like, look, we get to fight our wars over there. We don't want your people. If you want to send us brown people, we're not going to take them. Hey, white people from Ukraine, come on over now. 100,000 of you, we'll even provide ships for you. We're going to provide transports.
What we're doing right now in Afghanistan is worse than what we did for 20 years to the people. Like, they're suffering more now than they did then.
Yeah,
by many accounts.
Now we've taken your money, right? Now we've seized your bank accounts. We're not letting you into our country at all. You have no heating. You have no anything in that country anymore. We just up and left and basically left all of our armament to the Taliban, which makes them one of the largest armies in the world now because we just gave them all of our military equipment.
Yes.
So you know, good luck on you guys. Good luck on you guys. I mean, these numbers, though, are astonishing, right? I mean, look at these numbers, just awfully low. Number of refugee admissions from the fiscal year 1990
so then to the year 2020. 100,000 Ukrainian refugees would be, well, let's see, what is that number last year?
11,000.
Okay, so that's 10 times more than we did last year. We have the infrastructure for it, right? So, but there's bipartisan support for it, even from Republicans who hate immigration. Don't want anybody coming across to like take our resources, right? That's the party line.
No, if you're a white guy.
And they're like, no, fine. Yeah,
if you're a Republican, you hate Mexicans, right? You absolutely don't want anybody coming up from Latin America. If you're from Honduras, go back.
Right.
If you're from Ukraine, well, come on over. Come on
totally
over.
Totally fine.
Yeah, totally fine. We've got more news to get to here on the show. We're going to tell you what's happening with transgender individuals in Ukraine as they try to flee their country. We're also going to look at North Korea. We're going to talk about Justin Trudeau that's making some headlines this morning.
Let's talk about the transgendered piece, especially.
You want to talk about that now?
Yeah, because okay. It's not a separate line item in our story. What's interesting now is that Ukraine has very strict laws about transgendered people. They make them go through arduous programs of gender training and therapy and what have you. And then when you actually do transition, you have the issue of your identity, right? Most Ukrainians seem to be fleeing with the proper paperwork, but now transgendered people are finding themselves in some sort of limbo where maybe their birth certificate, they were able to change their gender, but not on their passport or vice versa. And that's created a holdup. Also, Ukraine is not allowing, according to these reports, which is new to me, that they're making biological males between 18 and 60 stay to fight. And it makes no exception for trans women.
No, so if you're fleeing, and so many of these trans women are fleeing to try to get out of the country and to leave and go, you know, across the border, they're being turned around by the Ukrainian Nazi military members and told, no, you've got to go back and fight. And they're basically saying to them, there's plenty of reports of this, by the way, and you can dig through this if you want. You'll probably be told you can't dig into this on Twitter. You'll probably be blocked for sharing it like I was. But they'll be turned around. So you have these members of the Azov Battalion and others who are grabbing them by the throat and checking to see if they have an Adam's apple or not. They're checking to see if they have an Adam's apple. If they have an Adam's apple, you're being sent back. You better go back and fight like a man. Because after all, biologically, you are. So regardless of whether or not you're transgender, you have to go fight. Because the Ukrainian military is forcing you to do so.
What if you're a biological woman?
Yeah.
Well, you think? Yes.
Again, these are the democratic values we're fighting for, right? I mean,
well, because the Azimov Brigade is empowered as leadership during this conflict, right?
And it's not. We should be clear. This Azov Battalion, Nazis, is not just one small little niche fringe group. When they were basically disbanded. A number of years ago, they were not just disbanded, they were dispersed throughout the entirety of the Ukrainian military. So this is not some like little fringe group, this Azov Nazi battalion. No, no, no. It's throughout the entire Ukrainian military. So I know we can't talk about it in the Western media because we have to hold up Ukraine as this, you know, angel on a hill. But it turns out that these Nazis who are literally telling trans women, transgender and gay and gay gay men, et cetera, get back and fight. Go back and fight. Be a part of this right now. I'm going to check your Adam's apple to make sure if you are, then you're going to have to go back and fight.
Shouldn't the reverse be true if you have decided that you are a biological female to male? Should you be drafted as well? Or are biological female to males allowed to leave?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, all I know is that these individuals are being stopped at the border. And I can tell you that if you look at Ukraine, when you look at their human rights violations and you look at this country and the way that they treat gay people, is that they rank really, really low on the totem pole for this. Ukraine ranks 39th. Out of 49 European countries when it comes to the treatment of LGBT, gay marriage is illegal. Homosexuality is considered a sin. If you're gay, it's considered a sin. There are no anti-LGBT discrimination laws in this country. So I tweeted about this. I said, hey, woke Twitter, don't tell anyone about this, but this is what's happening in Ukraine. And I love actually, let me give you the word of the day. The word of the day is whataboutism. Okay,
and so really quick, they're also stopping colored people at the border. You know, people of color, like anybody who's not white, and not letting them.
Yes, and also as part of this, I don't think I realized that males between the ages of 18 and 60 are mandated to stay. So you see all of these families being separated at train stations where the mom is taking the kids, and the Western media is telling us that they are choosing to stay. Right, that men are choosing to stay and fight the Russians. But this does not make that, it doesn't make clear that actually they cannot leave.
So today's word of the day is whataboutism. It is the technique of practice of responding to an accusation or a difficult question by making a counter accusation or raising a totally different issue than what we're talking about.
Well, then are we guilty of that by talking about Ethiopia?
No, because it's all part of the law. We're talking about refugees and America opening up its borders to refugees, we're talking about protecting democratic values and war zones, right?
Yes.
Then that's absolutely the case. So I tweeted about this, right? Earlier, and I said, you know, this is a story you shouldn't talk about, right? And someone writes back, they could be the most bigoted people on earth, and I would not give an F. Nobody deserves to have their country be obliterated and their family murdered. Okay, whataboutism? What does that have to do with how they're treating gay people? I don't know, but please tell me. Here's another one. Lots of countries, unfortunately, have homophobic and transphobic people. Some are democratic, some are not. Ukraine can do more, but Russia is much, much worse. Why are you not attacking Russia? Whataboutism? Again, what does that have to do with Ukrainian people who are discriminating against gay and LGBT community?
Well, it does, because there's a reason that we care less about these conflicts in Muslim territories, right? Because Muslim is one of the least accepting faith in terms of the major religions. And so we can just say, well, their life already sucks. They can't be gay. Women can't drive. Like, all right, we don't really care so much. But Ukrainians, at least the women could drive and, you know, that kind of thing. Like, that seems relative.
Yeah, what about the Congo? Okay, what about the Congo? You know, like, hey, Chris Watts just killed his whole family, right? He's murdered his whole family. Yeah, what about Hitler? Like, what about, yes, you're right. You're right. Compared to Hitler, Chris Watts, maybe not so bad, right?
Right.
So you're right. You got me. Let's just move on then. Like Ula Hula in the chat says, whataboutism is so lazy. It's exactly the truth. I mean, and that's that in the early days of this conflict when you'd say, yeah, but what about Putin?
Right.
What about him? I guess once you say that, what about Putin? Then you shuts down all conversation.
Well, Nick Schnapps Shops in the chat says that Russia has the same laws related to homosexuality, right? And so we're saying, is it our business to prop up one government over another at this point? Then
well, Poland, no. Poland I mean, as look. Well. Poland is very, very much in that camp. But of course, they're an ally right now, so you wouldn't yes. call out Poland.
Well, and look at Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Right.
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 Yeah.
So, you know, but this is all about being lectured about Western values. Remember, you have to, I just put this in context. You have to pay more at the gas pump because of the values that we hold dear. What are the values? I'm just asking, what are the values we hold dear? We literally are propping up regimes who are run by Nazis.
Right.
We're propping up military that will not let gay people, gay or LGBT community members leave their country because of fearing for their lives. And you're being grabbed, rounded up, held at gunpoint, by the way, and checked to see if you're Adam's apple or other parts of your body and then being sent back. By the way, I've watched a number of reports, read a number of independent journalist reports from members of the military who have gone into Ukraine to help fight on behalf of the Ukrainian army. These are people from the United States. These are people from other countries, France, other places who've gone in, and the reports are harrowing. They're saying, we're trying to get out because this is not the group we thought we were fighting for. We're trying to leave, and when we do, we are held at gunpoint and told that we cannot leave, and we are not Ukrainian. We came here to help, and now we're being held against our will by the Ukrainian army. Being held against your will. Like, if I go to help you and I say, hey, wait a minute, well, I don't like what you guys are doing. You're killing other citizens. Mm-hmm. I'm out of here. This is not what I thought. This is not the truth. This yes. is not what story we've been painted in the mainstream media. I'm out of here. No, you're not. Get back. Help us fight. That's exactly what's happening.
Okay, that's not good. So we're going to move on to our show sponsor, and then we'll talk about the fact that North Korea has bombs pointed all over the world.
That's right. Just give me a second here. Yes.
1 second?
Yes.
Wait for it.
All right. I want to tell you about our friends over at Indeed. Right now, it is really difficult to find great people, right? You're trying to hire an individual. Where do you turn? You need to use Indeed right now, because if you're trying to make the leap and turn your passion into profit, but you need the right team to make it happen, Indeed makes it easy to hire and to build a team with the right skills to make your dreams a reality. That's why so many people are turning to Indeed. If you're hiring, you need Indeed, because Indeed is the hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. And Indeed is the only job site where you're guaranteed to find quality applications that meet your must-have requirements, or else you don't pay. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites hoping to find candidates with the right skills, you need one powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. They have an instant match system. So as soon as you sponsor a post, you get a short list of quality candidates with resumes on Indeed that match your job description. And you can invite them right away to apply. Plus, you only pay for quality applications that meet your must-have requirements. It makes it very easy to hire great talent. I know my mom uses it for her. She's the CEO of a nonprofit. They use Indeed to hire their employees. I mean, look, right now, it's incredibly competitive to find the right candidates. That's why Indeed stands out, because more than 3 million businesses worldwide use Indeed to hire great talent, and they do it quickly. Start hiring right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/invest. That offer is valid through March 31st, so just a few more days to take advantage of this. Go ahead and go to Indeed.com/invest to claim your $75 job credit before March 31st. That's Indeed.com/invest. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. Well, North Korea is said to have launched an intercontinental ballistic missile. This is the largest one that they have tested since 2017. I love how Reuters is saying this is a headache for President Biden, because he is trying to only focus on Europe at this point. He does not want to look over at what's going on in Asia. In South Korea, where there is a new regime that was recently voted in, the leader there had said that, you know, we're not going to stand for this. This is something we're going to start taking seriously. Western powers are saying that this is a violation of United Nations Security Council resolutions. But North Korea does not seem to care. They continue to test these long-range missiles. Japanese authorities said that the launch just today appeared to be a new type of missile that could fly for 71 minutes to an altitude of 6,000 kilometers at a range of 1,100 kilometers from its launch site. So that's why we are calling this intercontinental. It can travel from one continent to the next.
So not like the intercontinental breakfast. No, it's a continental breakfast.
That's a continental breakfast.
This is like the intercontinental variety. I mean, look, this is what North Korea does. This is like part of their playbook. Mm-hmm. And you could almost like set it with an egg timer. And when I was anchoring the news for many, many years at Fox News, you would always know, like, when there was some other big event around the world that was focused on, if it was, I don't know, the Middle East, There was something in Afghanistan. There was some focus on Russia. There was some other big to-do going on. North Korea would always step in and always like, hey, remember me over here?
Yeah.
We're going to do some test firing of missiles. We're going to shoot some stuff near South Korea or, you know, now towards some of the American ships that are hanging out in that part of the world. Don't forget about us. We want to do this. They do this all of the time.
Well, actually, his demands and reasoning sounds very much like what we're told Vladimir Putin wants is we don't like, you know, Western presence closer to our shores. We are now, he says, going to launch multiple satellites to monitor military movements by the United States and its allies. So they seem just as troubled by Western creep as Vladimir Putin, which was our line in the sand, right? And so
you're going to hear a bunch of these countries now following what Vladimir Putin has done. You're already seeing it in China, by the way.
Yes.
You're already seeing, you know, tensions rising in China as it relates to Taiwan. And if Xi Jinping can look and see what Russia is doing and saying, hey, we don't really want NATO warships parked off of our shores anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. And I'm not saying what they're doing is right. All I'm saying is when you have this like Western expansion that knows no bounds and they're telling us, why do we not listen when they tell us? We just think that they're crazy.
Are we not scared that they can fly this from shore to shore?
Well, we know they can. I mean, why are we concerned about Iran and their nuclear program? Why were we involved? Why did we launch a major cyber attack against Iran's nuclear centrifuges? Like, because we're concerned about what they can do enriching uranium. Like,
yes.
Going after Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, we were concerned about what he was going to do in that region, right? The same thing is true here. That's why George W. Bush labeled them the Axis of Evil. Right. We give them this label.
Mm-hmm.
We can round them up. We can say that, you know, we can say that Russia, we can say that Iran, we can say that North Korea, they're the axis of evil. And we're going to watch them very, very closely. And that means that we're going to put warships off of your coast. And, you know,
well, if you look at this timeline, the gray bars, that one right there, you can see how this absolutely has been ramping up in recent years. We thought Kim Jong-il was, you know, waving a flag. Now look what Kim Jong-un has done. Absolutely. This, according to the CNS North Korean missile test database. So it's saying the dark gray here is which ones were successes. And then the light gray is which ones were failures. This is what we're willing to admit, right? If you go to the next one, you see which ones are short range, which is the light orange there. And then the mid to intercontinental ones, surely that can be quantified, is happening at an increasing rate.
And by the way, didn't we hear so much about President Trump's relationship with Kim Jong-un? Like if you go through and read Bob Woodward's take of it, I mean, they became friends.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that, you know, they would send each other gifts and letters. Kim Jong-un and referred to these letters, almost like love letters that they would send each other. And it's not a joke. And he would go there and meet with them. They started out as enemies, became friends. They would talk regularly. They would send each other letters and so forth. But a lot, if you look at this chart, like a lot of this increase happens under Trump's watch, right? A lot of this additional
yes.
launching of missiles happens under Trump's watch. So remember at the beginning, he called him Rocket Man.
Yes.
He's like, you know, then he's like, it's okay. All right, fine. You can just launch your rockets. It's
but
fine.
I think that he was able to appeal to this piece of President Trump that did not necessarily want foreign involvement. He did not want to send so much money offshore. And he was more interested in not necessarily being everywhere, but just succeeding in the United States. No matter what you thought of President Trump, he absolutely did not feel the need to like send money and resources away from the United States. And that appealed to North Korea.
And how many proxy wars do we want to fight, right? Because now South Korea is launching its missiles in response. But make no mistake about it, the United States has funneled. I mean, we're helping South Korea in all of this, right? I mean, this is not, shouldn't be surprised at all, right? So North Korea or South Korea says our military has raised surveillance and vigilance in preparation for additional launches by the North Korean military, the statement said, adding that South Korea was cooperating with the United States on the issue. Of course they are.
Yes.
Like, are we surprised by that at all? Of course they are.
Which you have to know.
And these are
U.S.-made
missiles that we're launching in response. These are U.S.-made missiles, surface-to-air missiles. So, again, how many proxy wars can we be involved in to push this, like, Western imperial power?
All of them. All of them. I mean, you have to know that this defense involves not only hacking into these systems, if we can get in, mm-hmm. right? It's not just, you know, the normal kind of spy work. This is really dangerous. And you don't know, I mean, just because it seems like they're successful, what does that even mean? Recently, I was reading a book that said that Little Boy, which was the first nuclear weapon Americans dropped in war, killed 80,000 people in Hiroshima. But this destruction could have been so much worse because only 1.38% of its nuclear core fissioned. So there was a high failure rate, right? So this chart here that says, what is success, right? How much success do you have to have even to kill 80,000 people?
Not very much.
That's terrifying to think of, like 98% of Little Boy did not actually work.
The idea, though, that any of these nuclear weapons will be used, I think is, you know, again, they don't... The nuclear weapons are meant to be a deterrent, right? No one's crazy enough except the United States to use them, right? So the idea is that you get to have these discussions and you get to be brought to the table, right? You get to sit down at the table and have a discussion with the adults if you have nuclear weapons, right? The reason that, you know, India and of course Turkey and Iran and North Korea and China and Russia can sit at this table is because they have nuclear weapons. Right. All of the other countries, forget you guys. You guys aren't the powers. Like, we dictate the terms of what's going to happen in the world. Mm-hmm. Not going to actually use these things. I mean, it's mutually assured destruction if you launch nuclear weapons.
Yes.
I mean, no one's going to be left.
They're all going in the air, if even one does.
Yeah, like, we're just going to let one of you guys launch a nuclear weapon at us. We're going to fire every one of them at you. And the whole world, it'll, like, you want an eradication of the dinosaurs? Like, will be nothing left.
No, I don't want that. I don't want any of this.
I mean, we can't have our bombs not going off completely. We'll be the laughing stock of the world.
Right.
Yeah, we can't. We have 6,000 nuclear weapons in the United States. We're not just going to launch three of them. Like, we will make sure. And that's, again, why our nuclear weapons are stationed in NATO countries. Like, we want to be able to fight these wars over there, in the United States.
I get so irritated at the hypocrisy because we're the ones going all over the world and telling all these countries, you can't have nuclear weapons, you can't have nuclear weapons. But, like, these people have said many times that the reason they have them is because we do. And we're the only ones in the world that have ever used them. So if the world were to get together, we're the ones they should be taking all the weapons from because we use them. We use weapons on a daily basis, but nobody's coming over here and making us get rid of our stockpiles. But we have the audacity to go all over the world and tell everybody else they can't have them.
Was Philip about to say something?
No, it's when David flips his microphone thing. It goes like a loud.
Oh, okay.
It's a weird thing. Yeah. So that's the latest out of North Korea. We'll keep our eyes on that because they want to be focused on right now. And this is what always happens. This is what always happens in these situations. All right. Let's talk about dictator Justin Trudeau. Now, that's not me saying that. I've called him a coward, and I did call him a dictator during when he expanded his powers, by all accounts, and putting the clamp down, taking people's bank accounts, and throwing people in prison for the Ottawa Freedom Convoy. Anyway, he shows up in Brussels yesterday and gets mocked right to his face by EU leaders who are calling him a dictator. It's a really remarkable moment to watch. We have the Moldovan president who had this to say. He said, Prime Minister Trudeau, in recent months under your quasi-liberal boot, Canada has become a symbol of civil rights violations. The methods we have witnessed may be liberal to you, but to many citizens around the world, it seemed like a dictatorship of the worst kind. Here's what he had to say in the flesh during this meeting. Here it is. Do I have the right one? Yes, here it is. Here it is. Sorry.
Poštovane kolege, dragi građani, premijeru Trudeau. Sloboda, pravo izbora, pravo na život i zdravlje, pravo na rad za mnoge od nas, to su temeljna ljudska prava za koje su milioni građana Europe i svijeta položili svoje živote. Za obranu naših prava i prava naše djece, koje smo stjecali stoljećima, mnogi od nas, uključujući i mene, spremni smo riskirati vlastitu slobodu i položiti vlastite živote. Nažalost, danas su među nama i oni koji gaze te temeljne vrijednosti. Kanada, nekada simbol modernog svijeta, je pod vodstvom vaše kvaziliberalne čizme proteklih mjeseci postala simbol kršenja temeljnih ljudskih prava i građanskih sloboda. Gledali smo kako konjima gaze žene, kako samohranim roditeljima blokirate bankovne račune, da ne mogu platiti djeci školovanje, da ne mogu platiti lijekove, da ne mogu platiti račune za struju i vodu, da ne mogu platiti rate kredita za svoje domove. Za vas su to možda liberalne metode. Međutim, za mnoge građane svijeta, to je diktatura najgore vrste.
All right, wow. When you're being lectured by an Eastern European about freedom, right?
Yeah.
So what, I mean, you got to look yourself in the mirror and say, did I really do that? Is that okay?
Too bad they didn't break away to him like while he was hearing that.
Going like this.
Yeah. Well, he turns around and looks right at him. I mean, he turns around and he's like right there in the hall, right to his face, calls him a dictator.
Maybe they turned off his translator and he didn't know.
I mean, he's got some balls. And then, of course, Trudeau has to get up there. It's like Trudeau has his prepared remarks that are like highly polished.
Oh, do we get more slippage?
We get more slippage. So he gets up there and wants to lecture the rest of the world on, you know, what happens and how we are a democracy and why we need to focus on, you know, making sure that we are standing strong for democracy worldwide. Let's listen.
A global pandemic views. Well, today, we are staring these forces in the face as they threaten the peace, justice, truth, democracy, and stability of our world.
Oh, really?
And we have a choice about what we do next. Since 2017, the world has changed.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
A global pandemic has taken the lives of over 6 million people and disrupted the lives of everyone else. A global recession saw millions lose their jobs, with many economies still struggling
to bounce
back.
Who is this news to? Who needs to hear this?
That is not just now forecasting, but living the dangers of climate change. A growing distrust of governments and facts.
Okay.
A weakening of democratic institutions.
I mean, really?
We saw one of our staunchest guarantors of the rules-based order choosing for 4 years to step away from NATO, away from multilateralism. And now, Putin's criminal invasion of a sovereign, independent, democratic Ukraine.
I mean, who in that room is like, oh, he's making a point I otherwise didn't know or didn't think. This is such theater.
Well, they're also like, who invited this guy? Like, how is now Canada, of course, is trying to align itself with NATO. Who invited the guys from Canada?
It's like in Toy Story when the kid brings bed sheets.
Yeah.
And he's like, who invited that kid?
Who invited that kid? Like, you're going to lecture, I'm sorry, and as the president of Moldova is saying, he's like, we have like lost millions of people to war, to fascism. Like, you're going to come here and lecture us about democracy? Like, as you pointed out, Eastern European countries like chastising Trudeau, like he's flying in there, is going to lecture them on the world stage.
Yeah.
He's like, we only, you know, Canada was finally a few years ago, we were able to speak here for the first time in five years ago. And, you know, a lot has changed since then. Yeah. A lot has changed since then.
Yeah, that we're not like seizing bank CIA accounts, Canada.
Yeah, that sounds like a CIA written speech if I've ever heard one.
Right. In certain of these Eastern European countries, it's like, oh, you can't go to an Adele concert because you didn't get a third vaccine or what have you. But they're not taking your bank accounts, right? This is a bridge too far. And when you're called out for it, I don't know. It's time to take a look in the mirror, which clearly... he's not going to do.
And by the way, two weeks ago he was there where he talked about we're seeing a slippage of democracy.
Well, yeah, because he doesn't want to be in Canada. He's not popular there.
So he's like, I'm going to keep going back to Brussels.
Who else needs me? Anybody? Anybody need a, I got a drill bit.
And talk about deflection. Like, it's like they're blaming
Tim Hortons. Sorry.
They're blaming climate change. They're blaming all this stuff. The democracy is falling apart. But they don't look at themselves like, why is this happening? Because of you idiots.
Right. He said, yeah, democracy is slipping. Like, you were literally saying that with a straight face.
Right.
Like, you're seizing people's bank accounts. You're taking their livelihoods. You're taking their trucks and not giving them back.
Yeah.
You're seizing, using wartime powers. I mean, literally, and he talks about like these police officers trampling women with horses. I mean, to call him out, I just got to say, you know, I got to give him props, like calling him out right to his face in front of him. Like, that takes some balls. Good on you.
And who spoke first? Just out of curiosity, did he speak first or did Trudeau?
He spoke first. He spoke first. And then Trudeau spoke later.
Wow. Yeah. They should have had him right after. That would have been funny.
Oh, that would have been great. But yeah. See, the thing is, he's reading such prepared remarks that it doesn't matter, right? He's reading his own prepared statement, his own thing. He's not flying off the cuff. You can tell this is such a polished, like, written thing. He's not just, like, ripping it up and throwing it off. Like, if that were Trump, I mean, love him or hate him, Trump would have been like, eh.
Yeah.
And yeah, this guy comes back across, here is calling us out.
It comes across as very condescending, in my opinion.
Who does? The
Trudeau.
Trudeau. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of let me tell you about the reason we came here. Although someone in the chat points out his hair does look very good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's like...
And you know, the stronger defense against destructive forces from the outside, from outside our democracies, than the unwavering unity of like...
Yeah.
What were you saying, Philip?
I was going to point out that you know, it's like the idea behind democracy was like debate and a group of people coming to a consensus. Debate is no longer what any of them do. We have like the Senate, we have Congress, we have NATO, these places where people get together. They're not debating ideas anymore. They're just like word vomiting out to the cameras. And so it's like, you know, there's no trying to convince each other.
In the United States of America, in the early days in the 1770s, 1780s, in the United States of America, yes, the population was much less. But the literacy rate in the United States in the late 1700s was 99%. Like, everyone could read. And when you would go to pubs and gatherings, it was all just like discussions about politics and the future of the country. You'd walk into these pubs in Philadelphia. And, you know, it wasn't done. They weren't watching football on TV. Yeah. They were having discussions about democracy and republic and the future of the country. And now what do we have? We don't have any kind of debate. We don't have any kind of discussion. And if you do, you get vilified or you get silenced, or big tech, you know, makes sure that your voice is silenced if you want to bring up any opposing viewpoints on anything.
No, and we do better the more people watch lame TikToks, you know, right. Then we don't have to actually have good discussions about things.
Yeah.
So
good old dictator Trudeau. We're going to talk about a new stimulus bill is working its way through Congress this morning that has to do with the gas tax. And we'll tell you whether or not you could get some new checks, some new stimulus checks in the mail. I love these Band-Aid solutions to the bigger problems. We'll talk about that and more. But first,
we are going to talk about one of our favorite things to talk about, which is reading, right? So we'll tell you about our show sponsor over at Audible, because how do we become more informed citizens of the world is through seeking out information. Audible helps you find many, many books and resources to become a more informed, connected, and inspired person by taking your audio programs on the go with you. You can listen to audio books on your connected device at home, on whatever screen you've got with you, even your Apple Watch, by using Audible. Every day, a little bit of science fiction becomes fact, from self-driving cars to computers in our pocket to predictive AI. It all begs the question, what does the future look like? Audible and South by Southwest have teamed up for a new podcast called Futurology, 12 Big Questions About What's Next, to explore the future of everyday activities like work, what we'll eat, longevity, mindfulness. Is college becoming obsolete? All of these big questions in this new podcast. So you see, Audible is not just books, it is also programming such as this. So you can get Audible by going to audible.com, and you can specifically find this new Futurology podcast by going to audible.com/ Futurology. I realize that's not a word. It's a made-up word, and so we're going to tell you how to spell it. Futurology. That's audible.com/futurology, and take on these big questions of life and existence with Audible.
You can also go to audible.com/invest or text the word invest to 500-500, which is where you can try Audible for free for 30 days and then do your search. So you got to go to that URL first so you can try it. Otherwise, you won't get to the freebie. So you got to go to our URL first, audible.com/invest or text the word invest to 500/500 to get your Audible trial for free. This was one of my favorite books. I listened to this on Audible about a year or so ago. It was absolutely fantastic. Unbelievable story about what this guy went through, David Goggins. And it's really great. The audio version of this is great because in between each chapter, he sits down with Adam Skolnick for an interview and discusses the chapter. And they have he goes deeper into the different points on it. But the story of this guy is unbelievable. The pain and suffering that he went through. And he's like, you cannot hurt me. It's all in your mind. Like once you understand everything that this guy went through, unspeakable stuff that you and I would never experience in our lives. He went through it. It really is one of the most amazing books I've ever read, listened to. But go check it out on Audible. Can't Hurt Me. You can get it for free right now. So good. So good. So good.
All right.
All right.
Well, Congress is debating how to get some money back to Americans because they do not seem to be able to control gas prices. Now, recall that Congress is telling us that gas prices are higher because of conflict in Ukraine, which doesn't actually work out when you think of the math, because in 2021, only 8% of American oil came from Russia, and oil and gas companies are making hand over fist profit and claim to have surpluses of stocks. Yet Americans are still paying high prices at the pump. Okay, so what can be done about that? One group of lawmakers proposed an energy rebate of $100 per month while average gas prices exceeded $4 per gallon. That's a tax rebate, right? So you'd have to wait to get it until April. It's not money you would have to it's not money you could collect. It's not a stimulus check, which seems to me, if you do the math on that, okay, so let's say in the months of February and March, the average gas price did exceed $4 per gallon, which means I could collect $200, $100 per month. But I wouldn't get it until next April, at least, or next tax filing season, right? Which means that $100 that's mine, that I'm owed, is being lent to the United States government in an interest-free loan.
And the value of that dollar is worth less every day, right?
Well, absolutely, but right. Not to the United States. The United States is going to keep that $100 and give it to me next year when it's worth I don't know what, right? But if it's mine in the month of March because the average price was over $4 per gallon, but I don't get it for another year, then I've just issued the government an interest-free loan.
Representative Peter DeFazio of Oregon has proposed what he's calling the Stop Gas Price Gouging Tax and Rebate Act.
Right.
It would create this windfall profit tax on these excessive corporate profits. He says big oil is foaming at the mouth. After price gouging Americans in 2021 to make record profits, big oil is now reaping the benefits of Putin's price hike.
But they're allowed to, right? Government allows them. According to the International Monetary Fund, oil and gas companies receive $11 million in subsidies every minute. That's not just through money directly given to them, but also tax breaks and tax cuts and tax incentives. So the way this is working, if you really sort of lay out the supply chain, is that the American taxpayer gives money to the oil and gas companies, and then we are paying again at the pump. And then maybe the oil and gas companies, maybe if it passes Congress, which it won't, will give some of it back, right? So that's us paying three times, but the oil and gas companies not really, and they don't have to pay on profit. They don't have to pay per gallon. It's only if they report a profit, which they can go out of their way not to do. Now in California, Gavin Newsom has said that the state will send $400 to help pay for gas for every vehicle owner.
Yeah, that proposal would use up to
two car owners per family.
And by the way, the reason why is because they have this massive surplus in California. So they have a $9 billion state surplus.
Mm-hmm.
So you're sitting on all of this extra money that you're collecting from taxes.
Yes, the highest taxes in the country.
Okay, I've got an idea. You've got people literally sleeping under overpasses in California, but make sure you get that $9 billion surplus. They're going to provide this rebate. It's expected to cover a 51.1 cent per gallon gas tax for one full year of weekly fill-ups for a car with a 15-gallon gas tank.
It's got a long way to pass, though, in the California legislature, because the California legislature has proposed its own gas reprieve, we will call it. But still, the money doesn't necessarily make sense when you think about how much politicians allow taxpayer dollars to go into the oil and gas companies, and then maybe they will give some back to the average consumer.
Like Richard Blackstone in our chat says, I just don't understand why we're subsidizing big oil. Good question.
Because they're big donors. They donate to political campaigns.
I mean, we make it easy for them. You know, even under President Obama, President Obama was the one that was supposed to be really, you know, like, we're going to move to renewables. He's the one that expanded Gulf oil drilling. I mean, make no mistake about it. When we saw that additional the BP oil spill, the Deepwater Horizon, it's because they didn't have the technology, frankly, to be doing that type of deep water drilling. We approved it. And think about the ecological disaster in that region as a result.
And it's like this. It's like, I've got $1,000 in my bank, right? And I'm talking to a billionaire, and to the billionaire, I'm like, you know what? You're doing such a great job managing your money, and everything. Here's 500 of my $1,000. It's like, well, I don't need it. Yeah, but just take it because, you know, you're doing such a good job. It's like, yeah, we're giving them money that they don't need out of our pocket when we need it the most. The reason we can't get stimulus and all this because of inflation on us is because of all of these corporations that we subsidize, or these industries, not just corporations. It's a whole industry we subsidize.
Right.
So you've got all these state lawmakers right now that are trying to do different things, like the state of Maine right now. Governor Janet Mills of Maine has proposed sending out stimulus checks of $850. You have Connecticut, which is also looking at like a gas tax, a holiday. So all these states right now are trying to do like these little fiddly things right now. And again, but I love the Democratic line on this. It's the Putin price hike.
Right.
Has nothing to do with Putin.
It just, it doesn't bear out.
You keep telling yourselves that. It doesn't make any sense. You keep telling yourselves
that. That explains exactly why Putin kept the Democrats out of office in 2016 with his Facebook ads.
Right.
Well, you know, it's interesting how we have to scramble locally to figure out how to take these high prices. But at the same time, President Biden is going to Europe and saying, hey, stop buying gas from Russia, start buying it from the United States, and then you won't be so dependent on a global power. Forget the fact that the United States is a global power, and forget the fact that there's an inflationary problem on its own shores, but we'll find it for you. We'll sell it to you.
If we can produce that much oil, why don't we just produce the oil, keep it here, keep the gas prices down, And if we need reserves at any point, then buy a little bit from other countries. But if we have so much oil that we're going to sell it, why don't we just use it?
Well, ecologists say that creates sort of an overconsumption of gas and it's bad for the planet, which absolutely is true, right? But the ecology piece of this, like how it's actually hurting the planet, is just like, oh, we talked about that last year when we had time during the pandemic.
They don't care about that part of it.
Of course not. Of course
not. So all I'm getting at is the hypocrisy of them saying, you know, we're going to start selling oil and make a profit overseas, yet we can't provide it for our own country to keep the prices down.
These are disparate stories we're being told is the thing, right? But at the same time, who is not hurting in this moment is politicians who are easily able to curry favor when they just like say big words about global conflict, and oil and gas companies not hurting.
Yeah, did you see the mortgage rates this morning? I mean, we featured it in today's newsletter. By the way, if you're not a subscriber of the newsletter, it's totally free. You should absolutely subscribe. We had about 100 of you sign up yesterday. Again, totally free. But one of the things we covered in the newsletter today was mortgage rates. And, you know, it's interesting as I look at the template that I use for the newsletter, I'm pulling from like the old version of it. It was like a 3.14%.
Yeah.
And then I had to put in all of the new mortgage rates for this morning, and it was like almost 5%, I mean, you're starting to already see the housing market affected by this for the two straight months now. You're seeing housing prices declining. You're seeing a slowdown. You're seeing interest rates going up. The value of the U.S. dollar going, you know, way less, nowhere nearly as far as it used to. And it's funny, I was even pulling up B-roll and pictures of things that we used to have from old gas stories that we did. And the prices, when, remember we had the gas shortage and everyone was like in line at the gas pumps? Mm-hmm.
I remember
$2.97 a gallon, mm-hmm. $2.87 a gallon. I was looking at the photos just a year ago, less than a year ago. And now we're pushing $8 a gallon in many places.
Well, and you know, doesn't it make sense too that if they're going to, if we're going to subsidize them, we're going to give them our money. We're going to subsidize them. If they start selling it overseas and making a profit, shouldn't we all get checks from that profit? Shouldn't that be split between all of us?
No, because that's, it's easy to, you know, I mean, let me just sort of oversimplify for those of you who don't understand how businesses are taxed different than individuals. If a company makes a profit of $100 but reports expenses of $100, they don't pay taxes on that.
Zero.
Like what's taxed on that is zero. If a person makes $100, they are taxed on $100, period, right? So it's easy for a gas company to say, well, you know, we had that much expenses. That's how Amazon pays such low taxes. But if you look at now, Halliburton, ExxonMobil, ConocoPhillips, they all, their stock prices have just sprinted, right? Shares of Occidental Petroleum doubled in just 2.5 months. So, you know.
And by the way, side note, Moderna's stock skyrocketing this morning. Because they're
good
pushing
for them.
Yeah, Moderna, Pfizer stock skyrocketing this morning. I was looking at their numbers this morning. Moderna really exploding because
they're
very, very close to their COVID, their new COVID pill.
Great.
They deserve it. They deserve it.
Oh, yeah, COVID.
Oh, boy. Well, yeah. Hey, did you see Jen Psaki got COVID again? And she thanked, she got it for the second time. She got COVID for the second time. She couldn't go to Brussels with President Biden. And she thanked the vaccine.
For
limiting
keeping her alive.
Oh,
keeping her alive. So this is the second time she's got it now.
All right, we're going to tell you what's trending, but first Clayton wants to tell you about our last show sponsor over at Moomoo.
Let's tell you about our friends over at Moomoo. So you can get 5 free stocks right now. Hey, you know, times are tough. Why not get at least some free money just for signing up? Again, through the end of the month, March 31st, there is when they're continuing this, where you get a bonus stock just for signing up. If you go to morninginvest.com/Moomoo, you can start trading stocks anytime, anywhere. Start trading with a free in-depth market data. They have a great app. They have great desktop app. Plus, it's zero commission trades. You can trade crypto. You can trade stocks. But the best part is you sign up and you get free stocks. And then when you make an initial deposit, you get even more. And even if you do nothing with these stocks, you could just sell them in your account. And now you'll have free money that you can use however you want. You could invest it. Or you could keep it, you know, whatever you want to do. You could sit on it and you learn about how to trade and start making some money. Someone in our chat yesterday said they started just a little while ago. They're up 10% year over year in trading. That's great. So just learn how to do it. They have a global investment community with 17 million users worldwide. Moomoo is the name of the company. But to get those free stocks, use the URL at the bottom of your screen. Morninginvest.com/Moomoo. Get that free NOI stock right now, plus 5 free stocks valued up to $7,000. So just start learning to trade today. All right, it's time to talk about what's trending on the internet. These are things that people are searching for over the past few hours, past few days that have made a hashtag run crazy. We're going to dive into it.
Okay. Hashtag Atheism Day is trending because that was on Wednesday. It is a day to bring awareness to those who are atheists and help them find community. I had a GIF here about... I don't see it. It's not a GIF. It was a... Hang on one second. It was about how atheists... That one. Yep.
Let's see if that'll play.
This is something that was shared a lot on Twitter. I try to do good in the world, not out of fear for hell or reward of heaven, but because it feels better not to be an a-hole. So I think a lot of people feel persecuted for being an atheist, and this is a day to let you know that atheists feel like they do not need a doctrine or a deity to be a good person. In fact, in some studies, atheists show to be more ethical, less likely to cheat, or lie or things like that than people who do have a religious doctrine. So,
well, and I stopped referring to it as atheist. Like, I call myself now a non-theist or a humanist. Like, I believe in people or just not, no theology whatsoever, just a non-theist.
Well, like Richard Dawkins likes to say, you know, there are the Christians who believe in only one God and only one true God. Atheists just take it, you know, they don't like deities, like different mm-hmm. powers. They like monotheism, and atheists just take that one and go one less, right? Yeah. Instead of many gods, instead of one God, there's just zero gods. So anyway, I'm all for tolerating anyone's religious belief or lack thereof. Paul Manafort is trending because the aide to former President Trump was removed from a plane to Dubai because his passport was expired. It was expired, I thought.
The stories I read said it was revoked, that it was a revoked passport.
But he somehow was already on the plane, so he already got through passport checks. He was sitting there on the tarmac in Miami, and agents came and took him off. Oh, revoked. Okay. I did read that wrong. Pardon me. So he's not supposed to
this
be going to
this was a weird story.
Be...
Now, remember...
It's so strange.
I mean, he was convicted, right, of... he was indicted federal crimes,
yes.
right? And then, of course, Trump pardoned him.
Yes.
And so, yeah, he was on his way to Dubai, and he was at Miami International Airport when he was yanked off the plane. It's just a weird story.
So strange.
Yeah.
Very
why?
Strange.
And why was his passport revoked? I guess, I mean, he was pardoned...
Right, so he should be allowed to, but a passport is, I think the U.S. government considers a passport a privilege, and maybe they don't have to do, I don't know. You normally need a reason to revoke a passport.
Like, would his passport have been revoked when he was indicted and he was convicted of these federal crimes, right?
Maybe he didn't reapply. I don't know. So many questions.
Yeah.
Cory Booker is trending because he gave Supreme Court nominee Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson a pep talk on Wednesday instead of grilling her. And some people loved it and some people hated it. We'll play a little bit of it.
All right, here we go.
I hated it.
Grab your... Yeah, so get ready.
Thank you very much. Judge, after me, only five to go. But sit back for a second because I don't have questions right away. I actually have... a number of things I just want to say. You got here how every black woman in America who's gotten anywhere has done by being like Ginger Rogers said, I did everything Fred Astaire did, but backwards in heels. And I want to tell you, when I look at you, this is why I get emotional. I'm sorry, you're a person that is so much more than your race and gender. You're a Christian, you're a mom, you're an intellect, you love books, but for me, I'm sorry, it's hard for me not to look at you and not see my mom, not to see my cousins, one of them who had to come here and sit behind you. She had to have your back. I see my ancestors and yours. Nobody's going to steal the joy of that woman in the street or the calls that I'm getting or the texts. Nobody's going to steal that joy. You have earned this spot. You are worthy. You are a great American.
All right, let's stop this.
Pandering.
Yeah, thank you. All of us can wait our whole life for a man to tell us that we're worthy. Wonderful. It is, in my opinion, which nobody asked for, but I'll give it to you, a bit Magoo, and also just like, who needs that from you to like glob onto her? Even she looked like, you're making me uncomfortable. I told Clayton earlier, I felt watching that like I feel when I watch people give their like self-written wedding vows, where I'm like, I don't think I should be here in this moment. I'm a little uncomfortable.
We have to sit here while you read your self-written wedding vows.
I want to go. Is that okay?
It's a private moment, you guys.
What was that guy that ran for president in out of Texas that always pandered the I can't remember his name, but he was like, no, everybody was saying he was going to be popular, but he was like
Beto O'Rourke
and Cory Booker should get together because they would like, could you imagine their conversations?
Oh my god. No.
Yeah, but I think like of this, that I word mean, that David likes to use is virtue posturing, where he's, you know, it's like, you're yeah. not a black woman. This is not, a, you know.
And by the way, like, can we just get off this, I mean, this idea, you know, he's like, the reason you're here is because of so much more than your skin color and who you are in your gender. It's like, okay, but no. Let's be honest with that for a moment here. The reason that you're sitting here is because President Biden specifically said we want a black woman to be on the Supreme Court. So we're not looking at Asians. We're not looking at whites. We're not looking at women that are white. We're not looking at, if you have to be a black woman to be sitting here.
Oh, but then wait your whole life for someone like Cory Booker to tell you you're worthy, right. You know?
So, okay, let's be honest here. And, you know, anyway.
Yeah, she seemed like she did not need that. Like her face, I just loved it because she was like, I don't need you to tell me that I'm worthy of this. But
I couldn't stop thinking about the fact that she wiped her nose with that Kleenex and then stuck it in her eye. That's what got to me the most.
Well, you know, those chemicals are intermixed inside your face.
Yeah, so, but still, it's just the thought of it coming out of your nose and then into your eye. I don't know.
David's got a beard, so all of those chemicals just go into his beard.
Yes. For me to lick off later.
Right. He's a flavor saver.
Gross. Okay, let's move on. Stephen Willite is trending. He's the creator of the GIF. He died at the age of 74, and his wife says that he died of COVID.
Okay, well, you probably want to at least call it what he did, and that is GIF.
GIF.
If we're going to recognize
so
him.
So I call it a GIF, but... You know, there's a whole discussion that like, there's like some Webster thing that says like, hey, it's fine. You can call it both. I've always called it a GIF, which is wrong. Apparently, it's
I call
GIF.
It GIF just to be snarky at this point.
Okay. I call it a GIF because of graphic.
Right. That's the first word.
I will die on that hill.
It's graphic. What is it? Graphic inter something? F? Graphic inter? Does anyone know?
Graphic interface? I don't know.
No. It's
graphic in her face.
Anybody?
I'm looking it up.
I don't know. Go to acronymfinder.com.
Graphics interchange format.
Yes, graphics interchange format. And he created it because he wanted to be able to send like large files back in the day. So yeah, graphic, right? Graphic is starts with a G. So GIF.
Okay.
And I don't care how he pronounced it, because he gave it to the world. Once you give it to the world, it's ours, and it starts with graphic. That's like
Michael Stipe when he would release a song with REM. He's like, it's not mine anymore.
Okay. Yes. His art persists. And finally, Miley Cyrus is trending because her private jet was struck by lightning on her way to a South American music festival. This is the tweet that she posted of the lightning hitting her plane. And she later posted a picture of the wing that had been struck, but
did
they were
she know it
able
was coming?
To. I think they were watching a lightning storm flying through it, and then she started to film because she was like, "Whoa, this is some crazy stuff!" And then it did actually hit the plane, but all on board landed safely.
That would be frightening.
Yes.
One time we were flying. I was flying out of Montana, Helena, Montana, where I used to live, and. I was leaving at like 6 a.m. to go to Reading, Pennsylvania to visit my family for the holidays. So I had to go from Helena to Salt Lake City, Salt Lake City to Detroit, Detroit to Philly. So it was like a whole long morning. And it was freezing and you know, in Helena, Montana, and they're spraying the plane and the de-icing material.
Yes.
They fire up the engine, it's going on. And people like looked out the window and they're like, is that okay? And the engine's on fire. Just like shooting flames out. And we're all like, what the hell? And the stewardess, like, she just walks casually up to the front to tell the pilot. The pilot comes and goes,
yes, some people may have seen flames coming from the wing. That's perfectly normal.
Okay.
When we fire up the engine sometimes and there's a little excess fuel on there, it catches fire. It's nothing to see here. Nothing to worry about.
Was there a guy in the back of the plane going, there's something on the wing of this plane.
Yeah, that's it. Literally.
Yeah, where's John Lithgow when you need him?
People are like, there, it's on fire. What's going on? I was like,
yeah, this is it's your captain. This is perfectly normal.
That's fine.
This is perfectly normal. These things are on fire all the time. Don't worry about it. We're going to be taking off here in just a moment.
You should have seen the plane I flew last week.
Right. We only flew with one wing last week, so shut your pie holes back there.
Well, yesterday we forgot to read your super chats. We apologize. We are going to read them today. We thank you so much for them. David and Philip, do you have them queued up for us, please?
Yes. So we've got Roberta Zakreski. You can find RT on odyssey.com. Don't know it unless you've tried it. We're smart enough to parse.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what odyssey.com is, but I'll look it up.
That's a video kind of like Rumble. It's another third-party video site that's kind of growing. Taking on YouTube. Trying to.
Cool.
It's hard to take on a giant.
Yes.
This comes from Unknown. I became Morning Invest fan 3 weeks ago and joined last week simply because they provide credible info and question BS. So thanks for that, Mr. and Mrs. Morris.
Oh, thank you for saying so.
Paul M., more people died in Philly this week than Ukraine.
Is that true?
I have no idea.
I don't know what the murder... I mean, Philadelphia has many murders. Had a sharp increase in 2021. That's shocking to think about.
Nick Shops, Russia has the same laws related to homosexuality. I think we pointed that out.
Yes, I believe we connected with that one. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Derek Morris, Trudeau, talking point one, talking point two, three, four.
Yeah. Yep. Right.
And those are all the super chats.
Well, I was going to comment like on the Cory Booker thing where like whenever politicians are doing that, all I hear is like in my head, I hear them going, you know, popular phrase, emotional like connection, something else that's trending. You know, that's all I hear. It's just like, come on, man.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. He has access to her. He could have said those things in private. He did not need to say them to us.
Yeah,
because that was only for. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. That was for the same reason Ted Cruz brought the books, the same reason, you know, so.
Karine, not Karen, just sent a super chat. Election has consequences. When Trump promised to pick a conservative, wasn't that bias? We don't live in a utopia.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you are right.
And then I have yesterday's super chats that we didn't get to. I can't push them out on screen, but I screenshotted all of them.
Go for it.
Cool.
There was a $2 super chat from Craig Davenport. I have no show on either of my phones. I'm not quite sure. Either.
Because we had outages yesterday.
Yeah. The solar flares.
Yep. Belinda Edwards with the all we are saying is give peace a chance.
Like it.
Kazmira Flanagan, super chat question to you, Block. Oh, that was I couldn't quite figure out what this person was talking about because I sent several $1.99 super chats, but they were like half sentences, and I couldn't quite make out what they're getting at, but I'll go through them. But Rick Flatch, this whole situation stinks of the plot of billions profiting from tragedy of war. I think that was just on the when we're talking about the sanctions or something.
I mean, it could be the theme of the month. Yeah.
Yeah. It could be the theme of our era.
Right.
I didn't get the name. Hang on. Let me. So I screenshotted these, so they were they're not exactly.
Thank you for grabbing them, though.
Yes.
Yeah. There was this one that somebody I can't see the name, but they were just talking about Febreze Unstoppable bottle was $5.99 now $8.29. So they're talking about inflation, and then the rest of them were the Kazmira Flanagan where it was there's like where's the money actually going? Any follow through on this by anyone?
Oh yes, I don't think we're going to be able to contextualize that, but thank you for those super chats.
And then we did get a $20 super chat at the beginning of the show from Rick Flatch. I would really like to find out where you are doing more crypto advice, like live trading and crypto investment tutorials. I could use the knowledge right now. Thanks in advance.
Thank you for that. Well, I've got our Clayton Morris channel. So if you go to youtube.com/Clayton Morris, and then we are kind of retooling a bunch of things here on the channel/network. So... maybe stay tuned for more of that because...
And no spoilers.
Yeah. But for now, why don't you come over to youtube.com/Clayton Morris. I'm going to be posting a video up there. I've been shooting some stuff on my crypto mining that I was doing. I've got some new miners that I've been ordering and retooling and looking at some helium mining and some other stuff. So... yeah, I'm going to be updating you what's going on over there. So youtube.com/Clayton Morris, come on over there as well. And tomorrow, don't forget.
Yeah. Tomorrow is pet photos. We talked about how you can't out-cute Grover as a puppy. But yesterday was National Puppy Day, and we would like to see you try. So please do send in, especially double points for baby pets. This was yesterday, Grover, for National Puppy Day. Yeah, you can't compete with that, you guys. But please do try.
Try. I did have some people send them to me personally. Don't send them to me because then they won't make it in the show. Please send them to this email address on your screen, pets@morninginvest.com.
Yeah.
So don't send them to me, please. I get enough emails and they will go into a spam folder or something. So please don't do that. Send them to that email address on your screen, pets@morninginvest.com.
You can also, carbon copy me
later today. Oh, yes. Later today, Clayton and I are doing a Financial Freedom Academy workshop with members of our Financial Freedom Academy, and we'd be remiss if we did not tell you about it. This is a course that Clayton and I put together to help families learn to take control of their financial health and run their family wealth building like a business with the same skills you already put into your career. Think about eliminating your money stress for life. We teach you how to do it one balance sheet line item at a time. Please head on over to Financial Freedom Academy if you're interested in this. And we do chats with our members once a month. One is today. You are welcome to join if you haven't already gone through the course, but I do recommend this course for anybody, especially as we talk about global politics, because this is a course that is designed to take you away from needing the government to do any one thing for you to succeed. So I am proud of it. It is financialfreedomacademy.com.
Yes, come on over. So it's our mentoring session today. We do these once a month or every so often with our private group.
So in between that time, I'm going to make myself a cup of tea because I'm freezing. Thank you so much for joining.
I've seen a lot of good feedback on that course too. A lot of people about it. Yeah.
It's a project of love.
Okay, everyone. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. We'll be back here tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Until then, please send us your pet photos and hope you guys are safe. Be kind to each other and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye, everyone.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.